This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stasio. You may have caught First Lady Michelle Obama doing her part to help North Carolina's homeless veterans last month. She was on the TV show Extreme Makeover Home Edition. The show was shot in Fayetteville at the expanded Jubilee House, a transitional shelter for homeless female vets. And that is just one project in a state struggling to help veterans who have fallen on hard times. Here in Raleigh, an organization called CASA is building a new development that will house 10 people who served in our armed forces and now live without shelter. There are about 600 homeless veterans in Wake County, so it won't solve the whole problem, but it is a start. Joining us in the studio today is Deborah King, CEO of CASA, and Bob Williamson is the Healthcare for Homelessness, a Homeless Veterans Program Coordinator at Durham's VA Medical Center. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us today.
Well, Bob, tell us a little bit about the homeless veteran population in this area. What factors lead to their situation?
Well, Frank, thanks for inviting us again, but thanks again for giving us this opportunity to speak to you and the community about the needs of homeless veterans. Well, what I can say is this. There are multiple factors that are involved. I mean, we have seen everything from unemployment to mental illness, substance abuse, to job market, the lack of affordable housing. So it's a complex problem. It's a very complex problem that needs a complex solution to resolving the problem. But I would say on the most part, every conceivable issue that faced the average person out there in terms of housing is facing our veterans and more.
So, and what are the more? When you talk about the veteran population, certainly the economy, it's hard to find a job, all of those things. But what are the particular needs of veterans?
Well, one thing, jobs. But when I'm in my office, when veterans, the average homeless veteran who comes to my office, the first thing he says to me, I need a job. I can't find a job. Do you have any place I can go look for a job? I think jobs is the big issue. But then factoring their military service as well, too. Many of them return home with injuries from their service time that will prevent them from working. Are they waiting on trying to get VA or Social Security disability going? But I think it's just the affordable housing situation is just made worse about the poor economy in terms of jobs.
So, Deborah, I know that CASA has worked with homeless vets before, but this is a real concentrated effort to make a development dedicated to veterans. What led to that decision?
It is a concentrated effort. There's a program that the VA has focused on called the VAS vouchers, and we were beginning to utilize those. And those are a rental subsidy program that the vet can take to any willing landlord. But even with that resource, what we were finding is the housing stock just wasn't there. You know, it's great if you got a rental voucher, but it's very sad if you have a rental voucher and nobody will accept it. And so as we looked at what the needs were in Wake County and our continuum of care group sat down and looked at the needs, we just saw veterans over and over again coming up short. You know, in Wake County, there are 91 veterans who are homeless on any given night. So 10 units seems like a small amount, but for those 10 people, it's a life-changing experience to finally get a house, to finally get an apartment.
So what does it mean now when you develop this complex? What's it going to look like, and how is it different from other housing that you might work on?
The wonderful thing about this site is that it's within a stone's throw of a veterans service center on Sunnybrook Road and just down from Wake Med. So it's well located in terms of services. In terms of how it will look, we really focus on our developments blending into the community that they're in. If we stick out, we want to stick out because we look better than what surrounds us. There will be some apartments that are set aside and designed for people with physical disabilities, so there will be that inclusion. But the biggest thing we find that the veterans and other homeless people need is an affordable rent. CASA only charges 30% of a person's income for their rent. And so our average tenant pays about $190. Most of those folks are on disability-only type situations. So to give them that quality housing that pays attention to their needs, puts them near services, near transportation, it lets them focus on other aspects of their life. You know, until they get an apartment or get a place to be permanently, they're just in crisis mode. You know, they don't know from night to night will they get back in the shelter the next night. And that's not a way to live or a way to get to the next level of your issues.
Is it going to be one unit, one building with 10 units, or is it going to be spread out a little bit?
It will be one building with 10 units, and we are hopeful that we'll be able to kind of replicate that. The site will does have space for yet another project similar to that, and so we're hoping to turn around and fairly quickly apply for additional funding to do even more units there.
Give us the economics, because you said, of course, the problem is stock. In other words, the market is not providing for a vast number of our brothers and sisters who need a place to live. Market's not doing it. You need to build a house. So you do it, and then you can afford to charge a rent that allows them to get on with the other things, as you say. How is that possible? Where's the money coming from? How do you do it?
Well, we have wonderful partners. Anytime you do affordable housing, it requires two things, upfront subsidies or low-cost money in the form of either grants or very low-interest loans, and then an ongoing subsidy. So in this particular case, there are four funders in play. HUD, you know, with the Department of Housing and Urban Development from their homeless side of money, the City of Raleigh, Wake County, and then CASA is also able to contribute some equity from some projects that we had to put dollars back in.
So, Bob, is this a scalable kind of project? Can the VA, can our government with private help actually build the housing that's required to house homeless vets?
Yes. Yes, we can. As a matter of fact, in Durham, there's a project called Maple Court Apartments, which provides housing for homeless veterans. It has 24 units, one bedroom each, and that was a collaborative effort between the VA, Volunteers of America, and multiple service organizations. What we have discovered that the VA cannot do it alone. It has to form a partnership. And if we have one veteran out there, that's too many. One homeless veteran out there that's homeless, that's too many.
Well, it does sound like in the region you've got hundreds.
Yes, we do.
And is there a hope and a plan to shelter at least those several hundred veterans?
Yes, the VA has several housing programs. One program is called the VA Grant and Per Diem Program, which provides transitional housing to homeless veterans. They can stay there for up to 2 years. Maple Court Apartments is an example of that. The veteran can stay there for up to 2 years, do not have to pay for rent or utilities while he's there. Actually, I said she is there as well, too, because they will take both male and female. Mm-hmm. That's one project. Another project we have is called the HUD-VASH program with Section 8 housing that offer permanent housing, not only to the veteran, but to his family as well, too. Then the third project we have is called Contract Residential Housing, which is a brand new program for us. We're in the process of looking at sites to create the additional housing. Yes, we have to do it. We must do it, because otherwise the community cannot do it. But the VA has the funds to provide by way of the Grant and Per Diem program, the Contract Residential program, to provide housing to remove our veterans off the streets.
And does that mean building new housing stock, or can you do it with existing stock?
We can do both. We have done both. We have Maple Court was brand new. Yeah. We have looked at some sites. People have contacted us and said they will offer transitional housing to the VA. There's an application process they have to go through.
When this is certainly a military state, a lot of bases here. Are the people who are homeless who have served in the armed forces mostly from North Carolina, or are they from other places and left the service here?
Many are from other places. What we see, and it's really based on the locality. Now, I go to different shelters and missions throughout the area to see homeless veterans, and there are some counties where you will see veterans mainly from that county. Alamance County is an example of that. When I go there, most of the people are local people. But if I go to the shelters in Raleigh, I see a lot of people from outside of the area. So I think people are relocating here in the hope of finding jobs. Mm. I think one of the problems we have is that for a long time, people did not think that the homeless was a major problem in North Carolina. I think because they heard about Research Triangle Park, they heard about Chapel Hill, they just assumed that the jobs were there and people would come. Well, that was true to a certain point, but when they arrived here, they discovered they couldn't afford the housing, or the housing was not there, so they ended up staying in shelters or questionable housing. So I think what we see, because this is a very agreeable state, many people transfer here, especially from down east. We see a lot of veterans who come from eastern part of the state for housing.
Deborah, is the program that you developed for veterans applicable? Can it apply more broadly to the homeless population?
Absolutely, and we work primarily in Orange, Durham, and Wake counties in terms of developing and managing, which is a distinction. You know, we We feel like the fact that we manage our apartments, work with the folks, coach them a little sometimes on ways to be a successful tenant, help them remain housed. But we also do some technical assistance and some consulting outside the Triangle region, because we could do this anywhere in North Carolina where we had the funds and the will to do it.
Are there the funds and the will to do it anywhere in North Carolina? With the funds.
Well, the funds are there, but we're not getting any additional funds. What we have to do is spend the money that we have in a different way, and we'll get a different outcome. So it's, you know, sometimes we say, you know, we're in such a depressed economy, there's no money for this or whatever. But what we do is we spend our money on high dollar crisis related services. And so we can illustrate where we've had people housed with serious mental illness. We've housed people year after year after year with little incidents of their going to the hospital, showing up in the ER. And that's good from a humane standpoint and from a dollars and cents approach.
Bob, when we talk about homeless veterans in particular, does homelessness start from the time in general? Is it the transition out of the service, or do people find themselves in a situation in housing and then lose it a year, 6 months, a year later?
Well, it's both. It's both. Some veterans actually, when they release from the military, wind up being homeless. Because what happens many times, they will leave the military, they will find a place to stay, and then eventually, because of a job situation or mental health or medical problems, they wind up losing their job. There's a domino effect. And when we sit down with a veteran and say, why are you homeless? We hear every version of the story. We hear, well, I thought I could apply for disability. I had a job lined up. I was coming here because I had relatives here or friends here. Or I was staying with a friend. So it almost seems to be that catalyst where all it takes is the loss of the job. And then it starts slowly going downhill. And one thing we discovered that is a really complex situation. It really is. People generally do not wind up the first night homeless. It seemed like that homelessness started 6 months ago. Mm. With the loss of that job or the drug problems or the mental health problems or the lack of housing or breakup of relationships, marriages. I see so many veterans coming in saying they lost their housing because they got a divorce or they separated from the wife. It just seems they have limited social support.
Do you are there, and I'm sure there is a perception out there that most of the problems for returning veterans might be psychiatric. They might have to do with substance abuse. That may be a popular perception. How accurate is that? Should we change our views on that?
Well, it's true. It's true. Many of the veterans I encounter do have a problem with substance abuse, mental health problems. I think if you look at the fact coming back from a combat situation, coming back from a situation that's completely disorganized when they get back, family's gone, social contacts are no longer there. Many of these people come back to an environment they're just not ready to cope with. And what happens is they develop mental health issues, they develop substance abuse issues, they eventually fall into questionable living situation, then it's downhill from there. So unfortunately, I would say yes.
And Deborah, you're now going to put this 10-unit complex together close to the VA, close to some of those services. Is there a downside? Was there something that you had to be – that you're going to have to watch out for by clustering people in this situation?
We try to pay attention and be active eyes on sort of landlord. But really, we find that, you know, 10 units is a very small number of units really to have in any one place. And most of the folks are just really about their daily lives. You know, we were looking back at the vets that we currently house, not, you know, just in our housing throughout the region. And we're finding, you know, that a large number of women are showing up. We think of a homeless vet for some reason, we assign them gender specific of being male. You know, but we see a lot of women returning from service. And those folks are working, you know, just like we work. It's just they're not earning the kind of income, especially that lets them live in an urban area. You know, with a fair market rent over $500 a month, if you only made a minimum wage and you were a single parent with a child, you need to work two full-time jobs. You can't do that. So the numbers don't work out. But we just try to be kind of eyes on and also be sure that there's a connection for those people to the greater community so that they're not just there in isolation, but that they're connected to services and they're also connected to traditional mainstream efforts that are going on.
Are there other examples of these kind of complexes and developments, and what are the advantages that you've seen there, if there are?
We have a number of units throughout the region, and we do a lot of 10-unit developments because, frankly, we buy a lot of infill lots, and they're zoned R10. So it's no magic to it. It's just kind of how it happens. But we find that people, through peer support, kind of bring each other along. It doesn't happen immediately. They have to develop some trust from one another, just like any of us who move in to a neighborhood. But we do find that they help each other. They watch out for each other. And the thing that I'm struck by in working with people who are homeless is that they start with so little, but their willingness to give to each other is just humbling and striking. You know, they don't have very much, but they'll open their door. And really often that gets them in a little bit of trouble with us. You know, they might invite someone else in who has been homeless because they have such a generous spirit. But they're good neighbors. They make good community members. And it strikes me that we're willing for them to protect us, but sometimes we don't really want to live next door.
When do you expect the doors to open?
Summer, fall of next year.
Good luck. Thanks so much for being on the program. Deborah King is CEO of CASA. You can read more about her organization at casanc.org. Bob Williamson is Program Coordinator for Healthcare for Homeless Veterans at Durham's VA Medical Center. Learn more about Durham VA at durhamva.gov. And that's the State of Things for today. Thank you for listening to the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.